Welcome to EFM Morning Briefs. This is our second episode of 2025. I'm your host, Wendy Mitchell. Thanks for tuning in. I hope your festival and market got off to a great start yesterday. Today's a very busy one, one of the busiest days, I think. So let's get right to it. Today's guest is Scott Roxburgh, who is the European Bureau Chief of The Hollywood Reporter and a frequent guest on this podcast. Scott, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you. Nice to be here.
So, Scott, I know it's quite early in the market and the festival, but I also know you've been talking to a lot of people in the industry in the past few weeks, and just kind of curious what the mood is. It's, to me, it feels like there's a lot of sort of goodwill towards the new team at the helm here. People are excited to see what they can start building. How are you feeling the vibes from the industry right now?
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's split into two a bit. Berlin's always a festival and a market. And when it comes to the festival, I think you're exactly right. People are really upbeat and optimistic about the new director, Trisha Tuttle, who comes from London, from the London Film Festival, and are really hoping that she can bring back a bit of the glitz and glamour, a bit of sort of the bigger film appeal that Berlin used to have, and I would say has lost a bit in the last couple of years for various reasons. And so there's a lot of optimism around that and a lot of hope that Trisha will be able to bring in some of that excitement, come that excitement back to this festival, which is the biggest public film festival in the world. I don't see that optimism really on the industry side, though, because whatever Trisha does and however successfully she runs this festival and however many stars appear on the red carpet, and we're going to see Robert Pattinson and Timothée Chalamet
and Tilda Swinton.
That's all great. But the industry itself is in just a point of either crisis or transformation, but definitely disruption at the moment. And you see that basically everywhere and every type of independent film being made and sold, packaged at the European film market in Berlin. And a lot of the issues that are causing this disruption, whether it's AI or the collapse of the theatrical market post-COVID and its non-recovery, or the cost of shooting films in the United States, which has soared in the last number of years, making it almost untenable for a lot of independent productions to shoot there. All these things are sort of coming together to make it incredibly difficult or challenging to make independent films, at least in the way they've always been made, and to release them to make money off them. And so, because that is the basis of the European film market, everyone coming there, the thousands of producers, financiers, and salesmen who are coming to Berlin or the business side of the Berlinale, I wouldn't say they're optimistic. Some of them are hopeful things could change. Some of them are trying to find new models and so forth. But it's still a bit doom and gloom over there.
Okay. So it sounds like maybe you don't think we're going to see a ton of deals being signed or business being made. But I also know, I've been following what you've been writing the past couple of weeks, a lot of packages being announced. I mean, just yesterday you wrote about this Ethan Hawke, Russell Crowe, period epic, The Weight that WME is repping. I mean, it does seem like a lot of new product is coming in.
No, that's definitely the case. And there is a lot of films out there, and some of them look quite interesting. There's a lot of very commercial, quite a few commercial films, everything from like Ari Aster's new film, Eddington, starring Joaquin Phoenix, which is sort of a Western, the A24, is selling. Magnify has the sort of a body horror film called The Blood Countess, starring Isabelle Huppert. Blood or body horror in general is becoming the big genre now that The Substance did so well. And so everyone's chasing after the next body horror, hopefully feminist body horror, that's even better. So if you appeal to a female audience or whatever, that's a big trend at the moment. And so, yeah, there are a lot of projects out there. That can also be a two-sided thing, though, because a number of projects come to this market to pre-sell, sometimes because they're not certain they can get financing elsewhere. So they have to sort of test the market's appetite for a certain project. If you have an A-list project with top stars, everything's guaranteed, and it seems like a box office home run, you don't even need to come off to a market like this. You can get the financing elsewhere and get it made. But those type of projects almost don't exist anymore. It's incredibly difficult to get that type of, you know, those type of packages together and you get the financing for them. So the old school pre-sales market where you come to Berlin and, you know, go to buyers in every territory around the world and say, how much will you give me for the rights in your territory to this movie so I can make the movie? That's become more popular. It will be interesting to see how many of these packages do get financed and do get made. Looking at the offerings, I think they're all very cleverly, or all the vast majority are very cleverly set up. They look like they're budgeted correctly. They look like they know exactly who their audience is going to be. So I expect there will be a lot of sales. There will be a lot of pre-sale business done. That still, for me, though, doesn't solve the bigger problems around distribution, around cost of production, which keeps going up, and so forth. In the end, the numbers are not going in the right direction in any part of this business, and I think that's going to stay. That said, there will be sales in Berlin. There will be business being done.
I just want to mention already, you and I are both smart enough to know, Scott, when people announce deals on the first day of the market, they were not done at midnight the night before. But at least yesterday, co-production office announced a slew of sales on Ruben Östlund's The Entertainment System Is Down. That film is shooting now, so that's a go. Anton announced deals on Fuse, directed by David McKenzie, starring Aaron Taylor-Johnson. New Europe has sold well on the new Hlynur Pálmason film from Iceland. That's now in post. So keep reading the trades to see some deals announced. But as we know, those weren't actually done here on the ground. But I hope we do see some done on the ground. And I think we will, as you said, we'll see some deal making here. There's a few sexy things out there. You know, I've been reading quite a few of the Scott Roxburgh treatises in the Hollywood Reporter this week. You've been writing about AI, as you've already mentioned. You've also been writing about Elon Musk. I don't know if Elon Musk or AI, which of them will bring down humanity first. Are you hearing a lot of people talking about AI in relation? I know that EFM is doing a lot of official sessions talking about this topic. I mean, how are you feeling about the sort of political side that people are talking about, also this tech side?
Yeah, I don't know if my opinions on Elon Musk are broadcastable. When it comes to AI, I would say it's a more nuanced discussion, because obviously AI is a big bugbear in the film industry. We're seeing the sort of scandals and consternation around the use of AI in some Oscar-nominated films, Emilio Perez, The Brutalist, and a big sort of uproar against that. But my piece that I just did that was in The Reporter was a bit more on the sort of positive or optimistic side of the use of AI, particularly in the independent film industry. And just looking at very specifically non-English language films, the opening night film, The Berlinale, Tom Tykwer's The Light, a German language movie, they did an agreement with a LA-based company, AI company called Flawless, to do what they have developed as a sort of lip-synced dub, where they do an English language dub of the film using the original actors, and then the technology, the original actors speaking then in English and doing their performances in English. And then they have technology dubs the German visual screen performance into English. The technology, I'm not a booster or whatever. I have no stake in that company in Flawless. It looks quite phenomenal. It is utterly indistinguishable from a non-dubbed movie. They've got a number of non-English language films from Sweden, from Korea, from France that they've used this technology on that are going to be released theatrically in the U.S. via XYZ Films. And it's for me, a very interesting move in the industry to say these are mostly films we're looking at are genre films or more mainstream films that don't really have that much of an audience outside their non-dubbed territories, their original territories, Sweden, France, wherever. This is an attempt to use AI to increase the market, to increase maybe the jobs and business in this industry, as opposed to get rid of jobs or get rid of writers and actors and so forth, which is the fear that so many people have. There are a few other examples that I've seen of real attempts, particularly in the independent industry, to use AI in a smart and ethical way to try and grow the business. Because, as I said at the very beginning, the indie film business is in trouble. It's having a difficulty making the numbers work. And certain aspects of this AI technology could be incredibly useful and powerful to maybe open up markets, create them where they weren't before.
Yeah, thank you. Because I think, you know, there's a lot of focus on tech over in the Martin Gropius Bow, you know, in that second floor. And this is not all doom and gloom. Like you said, it's some real solutions to help people maybe have more efficient workflows. And I think, yeah, the EFM's doing a great job of showcasing a lot of that. Any particular sessions at EFM that you want to spotlight? You're probably moderating some things.
Yeah, so I do my own like plug. I'll be doing
yes, plug it.
a session on Monday, particularly looking at how to use film festivals and the international markets to sort of package and market independent films, because I think one of the big challenges for independent releases is the financing is obviously a challenge. Always selling a film is always a challenge. Making a movie is a great challenge, but the real barrier between, if you have a good film, the barrier between making it successful or bombing completely in the independent space, I think has so much to do with awareness that it's incredibly difficult to get people to even know that your film is out there, to know it's, to know what it is and what it's, and to get them excited about it. No independent company has the budget of a major studio to blast marketing and everybody all around the world simultaneously to get them out at a certain weekend. So how to structure marketing, how to design a film really from the get-go while you're packaging it, while you're taking it, when you first take it to a festival, how to position it in the public consciousness, working with reviewers to see how they see the film, and all these elements I think are incredibly crucial for the independents to be able to see their films not just as pieces of art, but understand how they fit in a marketplace, and more importantly, how they can actually reach an audience, how they can properly position a movie, an independent movie, so that audiences will know it exists, will know what it is, and will be able to get excited about it, and hopefully then go to watch it. So that's what our session will be talking about on Monday.
Great. I'm going to show up for that on Monday, because I agree that, you know, marketing is so crucial for a film's success, to reach an audience, and we don't talk about it enough. So good luck with that chat. Scott, thank you for joining us today and wishing you a great festival. We're all going to keep reading THR every day to see what scoops are in there.
Great, Wendy. Thanks so much.
Here's what's on today. Start today with a bang at the new Breakfast Club for Producers. It's 9 to 10 a.m. at the second floor of the Gropius Bow. The EFM Industry Sessions, which is the big five-day conference, kicks off today. More than 100 amazing speakers from all around the globe, experts in all kinds of topics. Do check the schedule and pick out your sessions. Winston Baker's Finance Forum returns. This starts at 10:30. I see that Amy Baker has got some great speakers this year, like Christine Vachon, F.E.T. Brown, Mohamed Hefzi. That's going to be a really good one. The Female Summit today starts at 1:30, focusing on gender equality, followed by a session on female leadership. We're going to end today's sessions with the first industry masterclass. This is with CAA's Rogue Sutherland. I'm moderating that one. Rogue really is the guy that has his finger on the pulse of the market. Can't wait to hear what he says. The relaunched Doc Salon in the Documentation Center at Cafe Connect is today at 3 p.m. hosting a session called How to Navigate the EFM from a Nonfiction Perspective. Perfect way to start off this festival and market. You can walk in, ask some questions, get everything answered in a very helpful way. Also, don't forget to check out the newly launched Innovation and Producers Hub on the second floor of the Gropius Bow. That is also where that Happy Innovation Hour happens at 6 p.m. The workshops and panels for the Producers Hub kick off with the Spanish Producer Spotlight at 10 a.m. As Scott was talking about, AI is the hot topic, and there are various AI sessions at this market and festival, starting at 2 p.m. with Publicum.io on using AI-backed anthropology to build strong audience awareness. And also, Step Up, the new toolkit for green international co-productions, is presented by EcoProd and Eurimage. That starts at 3:30. Also to mention, Vimeo, a new partner at the EFM, is hosting an interactive panel with their CEO at 5 p.m. So lots of amazing talks and sessions today. Hope you have a great day, and do join us again tomorrow.